Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain. And you are listening to the Nerdcast. But what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
It's a new season of Projects Nerd Nerdcast, season 5. We got the team here. Well, most of us, anyways.
Woohoo! Aw. Woohoo and aw.
So that was Adam, obviously, as you can hear.
I feel like it has to be the Nerdcast from Project Nerd as opposed to Project Nerd's Nerdcast.
It's the Nerdcast from Project Nerd, season 5.
I think that's better.
Okay.
I think that works better.
So obviously Tyler's here as well, as you just heard from him when I gave a window for Adam to introduce himself. And then Aaron, who has not made a peep.
Peep?
Peep, okay. There we go. Perfect. All right. So we don't know where Bob is, honestly, too. And typically, ahead of time, when people aren't here, we have a pre-plan. We thought Bob was going to be here. So maybe about halfway through the episode, we take a short break and reconnect. So maybe Bob will be here for the second half. I don't know. Maybe he'll just show up out of nowhere and start making a bunch of noise in about 5 to 10 minutes. That one, I think, seems more likely. We'll see, though.
It's like a mystery show. You never know what you're going to get. We're like a box of chocolates this season so far.
Let's hope so.
So far, we're like 30 seconds into the season.
We're setting the bar high already.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like everybody wants a box of chocolates, so, you know.
True. So we took last week off in between seasons for your 4th of July holiday weekend. Everybody enjoy that as America 5. What, a hat trick in 16 minutes from Carly Lloyd?
That World Cup final was so good.
Kind of. By the time I had got it connected to watch on my computer, it was already 3-0. And I didn't think it was – I thought there was a glitch on the screen because I was like, there's no way it's already this. So I don't know. It's crazy. But, yeah, they scored, and it was crazy. But a cool game, which just so happened on 4th of July weekend. Of course, the men played that weekend too, and they're playing this week for the Gold Cup. Well, not playing for the Gold Cup, but the tournament started.
They're playing actually right now as we record.
You look a little distressed.
I mean,
don't
worry.
Would you rather watch the game?
What's going on, Adam? Is the score?
Still 1-0. May or may not have it on. Don't worry about that.
Who are they opening up against?
Oh, no. 2-0. We just scored again.
Ha-ha. Oh, you're good. Who are they opening up against, too? I'm sorry. I'm not
Honduras.
Watching. Oh, okay. 2-0. We're okay. Howard's in goal, right?
No, he's taking the Gold Cup off. Brad Guzan is our goal.
What? Oh, they better get a third goal in just to be sure then. All right, so enough soccer, football, whatever you want to call it, wherever you're from.
We can talk about the Royals. I'm watching that over here on the screen.
Oh, the second game, because they had a walk-off grand slam to end that.
They did have a walk-off grand slam.
Double header, yeah.
Did you 5-1 in the bottom half of the game.
Did you see, though, to segue us out of the sports, did you see the link I shared with you guys? Of the dugout from the rainout on Monday night?
Yeah.
That's still about sports.
I had seen it earlier because I don't know
if you
know
weather.
That's a weather comment.
If you want to see awesome things, you should follow Salvador Perez on Instagram because it's fantastic.
Yeah, he's the one who shared the clip of the dugout. So at the Kauffman Stadium, so Kansas City just got slammed with storms on Monday night and they canceled the game. So that's why they had a doubleheader on Tuesday. And, the stadium, the rain was so bad that, yeah, he shared a video on, I don't want, probably all of his social media pages, but it was just, it looked like just a water, like a stair-step waterfall, like it was on.
Well, it looked like the old waterfalls in the outfield.
There you go, yeah.
I was like, wait a minute, what happened here?
So crazy, crazy rain, rain across the Midwest.
We got that storm right before they did, and it was pretty fierce there for a little while.
Yes,
apparently the tornado sirens were going off for a good 3 or 4 hours last night before they postponed the game. So,
yeah, crazy. I was talking to Stephen K. Smith props, messaging him, and he's like, "Hey, can you give me a minute? We're got tornado sirens going off." And I was like, "You do you, man. You do you." I was like, "Don't worry about me." So, besides sports right now, tons of things. Like I said, we had a bye week in between seasons, so 2 weeks of exciting content. number of movie trailers. I'm sure Tyler and Adam will also want to talk more about The Martian, of course. But who wrote that book, guys?
Andy Weir.
Okay, I was just making sure you guys.
You know what? It's episode one, season one, season five, episode one. We're what? A couple minutes in. I'm breaking it out right now. You know what? Fuck you, Iggy. We really like that book. And we want people to know about Andy Weir and his amazing book.
Dropping the F-bomb already. So a lot of interesting movie trailers. Do we want to start with some of those? Like, I know, Tyler, I was in town with you guys last week, so we were reunited, and it felt so good. But we were talking movie trailers at dinner. No, Adam shook his
head. I may have missed that. I showed up just in time to, like, fight back the cannibals from trying to eat my dinner.
First of all, not cannibals. Our plates were empty. Your plate was still sitting there with some beautiful pork chop and chicken on it.
And red beans.
Delicious. It needed a home. It needed a home.
Yeah, and I was willing to give it that home, and I showed up, and I thought I was going to have to stab somebody with a fork.
In your defense, Tyler, it did almost get to that. I will give you that.
Get to that, yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you that credit.
We would have just, you know, ordered you another plate. You know, we just didn't want it to get cold, so we would have saved that meal.
It was fine, and it was delicious.
So, no, we talked about, because the new, what trailers dropped? You had another...
There's quite a few this week. The Steve Jobs one, the Creed one, the Rocky Creed? One.
Like, Rocky. But...
Like, no, like Apollo Creed. Apollo Creed's son is now going to become a boxer trained by Rocky.
Oh, I thought it was like a documentary about
Scott Stapp. There's actually I don't know how tongue-in-cheek it was, but there was definitely a petition out and an open letter sent to the producers asking them to change the name. And he actually gave them some name options because it may dilute the brand of one of the greatest bands in the history of the world, Creed.
Whoa.
Whoa. Sent that letter? Scott Stapp sent the letter?
No. Just some person.
Right. Oh, okay.
But it seems a little tongue in cheek. So he was too drunk.
He was too drunk to write that letter at that time. He was stumbling off stage.
What else came up?
They're diminishing the movie's quality by naming it Creed.
What is it? Olympus Has Fallen now has a sequel called London Has Fallen. What? And looks fantastic. So now the president is on a. As played by who does play him in that movie?
Jamie Foxx, right? Or is that the other?
No, that's the other. That's White House
that's
Down.
The other one,
White House Down. It's two movies. Gerard Butler was Olympus.
Aaron Eckhart, right? Yeah, Olympus.
And Aaron Eckhart,
was the president. Morgan Freeman,
Jamie Foxx, and Channing Tatum in the White House Down.
So,
okay,
Aaron Eckhart, the president, is in London for the Prime Minister's funeral. And Gerard Butler discovers a plot to assassinate all the attending world leaders. And there's the poster promo trailer has Big Ben like exploding in fantastic fashion. So
I love that political action thrillers, whatever you want to call this sub genre. Wow, butchered that word. Whatever you want to call it is all of a sudden like a thing again. I don't know.
I'm a little upset that they didn't go with some like what's the word, colloquialism for London, because obviously it wasn't White House Has Fallen, although there was White House Stone, it was Olympus Has Fallen. I feel like they should have gone with something, you know, the smoke has fallen, or I don't know, what are some other things for London? I don't know. I feel like there's probably some sweet English colloquialisms for the city of London that they
Big
totally
Ben is down.
I don't know.
That sounds like a gay porn.
No.
Come on.
Ten Downing Street has fallen. I don't know. Something better than London Has Fallen.
Where's the doctor?
This is not exactly a franchise you go to for original ideas and creativity and fantastic filmmaking, but. I mean, they got Morgan Freeman, Aaron Eckhart, and Gerard Butler to keep doing them. So,
hey, when you're on, right? So, yeah, the new Steve Jobs trailer, the new that's the one we were talking about. Maybe we weren't talking about dinner. Maybe we talked about it afterwards. Tyler ran into you talking about how it the movie takes place over the keynote speeches, the important keynote speeches. Maybe is that better?
Three of the biggest ones. So,
yeah. So. That seems interesting. I still haven't watched that trailer, though. But then there was another, like, gosh, there was another big trailer. I know, not trailer, but you had more stills from the Batman versus Superman as that made it. Was it Entertainment Weekly that it made it onto or something?
Yep.
Turns out, again, that may actually be a movie.
It's going to be a movie. The quality of the movie is the thing we need to question.
I mean, the only one I remember bringing up is there's another trailer. There had already been a trailer, but there's another trailer out for Legend that I know Aaron is super excited about.
That's right. You brought that one up too.
Starring Tom Hardy and Tom Hardy. So,
yeah, that's kind of going to be cool.
Back to Batman versus Superman. Although now that I do think about it, Adam, you might have a point. It still might not be a movie because we've heard more about Ben Affleck being on the set of the Suicide Squad filming his cameos as Batman than I've heard about him filming Batman in Batman versus Superman. So I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. DC's.
That's all you got to say, dude.
It's just a mess. Yeah, I don't know.
It might be really good. And I, for one, am going in with absolutely zero expectations to enjoy Ben Affleck as Ben Man. Batman.
I don't have a
problem. I think he'll be really great.
I don't have a problem with Ben Affleck as Batman. And
I'll just enjoy that.
Did a good job signing him on as key because they've now also said that a big reason of bringing him in is that older Batman is also they get him as a director for the next standalone Batman movie with him. I'm cool with that. The problem is the trailer that we have seen for Batman versus Superman is it's just not right. And it's just the whole Batman versus Superman thing, the dynamic that they even gave to us in the trailer just isn't either one of those characters. It's nothing like those characters.
And we got into it when we talked about this. I think it's been a couple weeks ago we all kind of got onto this. And I held off so long for blaming it on this. I wanted to blame it on DC or executives or Warner Brothers or whoever. But it's come to we've finally reached the point now where I've decided it's time. I don't know if DC can ever really make the movie that we want to see as long as they let Zack Snyder be in charge of all things.
It
hurts me in my soul to say that because I've always been a huge Zack Snyder fan, but because of this fiasco that has been, you know, Dark Knight, I mean, not whatever, Batman versus Superman and
Man of Steel.
Yeah. I've gone back over like his other things he's done and I've realized that I like a lot of the things he does. He's not the guy to take this established universe and do it right.
He's the guy who can take the established universe and do it right if they're sampling from one thing and this is a recreation of it. He did it well with Watchmen. He made the appropriate changes that I think worked for a larger movie-type audience. He did a great job with remaking the zombie movie, Dawn of the Dead. And then
I would say to date, that's probably the best thing he's ever done.
And then, the Owls of Ga'ul or whatever?
Legends of the Guardian.
Yeah. Well, really faithful adaptation there as well.
300 goes, put him on the map. Was super. A great
adaptation. Yeah. And it was a faithful adaptation. Although Frank Miller was on set, like from day one to the end. Sucker Punch. I enjoy Sucker Punch to a degree, but that's his first like original thing he does, and it's not as strong as the others. And then, like you said, you enter into these. The thing I see with Zack Snyder, because I agree with you, I've been a Zack Snyder fan, and I've been a defender of him, hoping that this could work. I think he suffers from what I would like to call M. Night syndrome. You peak too early, and then you just start rapidly declining.
There's so many things that he's really good at, and I don't think there's enough people around to be like, this is not one of those things. Like, he's so good at the spectacle and the production design and like that, but when it comes to, like, telling the story and being true to the characters, I don't think he has that niche. But from everything that's come out from behind the scenes of all the stuff that's going on with DC movies, like, he's pretty much got carte blanche. Like he gets to make all the final calls on just about everything. And I don't know if that's the best. Like, and I think I said it when we were talking about it. It's like, let him do all the pre-production stuff. Let him do the casting and the set design and the production, and all that stuff, making it look the way he wants. And then right at the last second, get a better director to then actually direct the movie. But I don't know.
Either that or let him direct and just have somebody, don't have him be part of the script writing.
Oh yeah, the Nolans make the script and then get everything set up and then just hand him everything. Like, here you go. Go make a movie.
It is good. Like, we even have these scenes done for you. Like, here they're drawn out. Like, here's the comic book to recreate.
And I feel bad to say this, but Man of Steel has, like I said, has made me go back and reevaluate like his filmography. And it's made me, I don't know. I think the problems with Man of Steel made the problems with his earlier work significantly more glaring. It's like now all of a sudden I'm like, oh wait, no, I definitely see where I can see where there was a lot of people who were not pro Zack Snyder back then. And when I was, you know,
right. You go back and you watch it and it's not, he's going to learn from this and do better. It's, oh no, that's actually his style. He's not, he doesn't do that well. That's okay. Now I get that now. And I think Iggy, you mentioned the M. Night Shyamalan thing. I think he tries to be too clever. He tries to do too many things and put too much in and do it in a different way than anybody else. And just, you know, go out there. You know, these are comic book movies. They are, as we've seen from Marvel, fairly easy to do with even things that people have no idea about, let alone Superman and Batman, like things that people actually know what's going on with those stories. You can go out there and just tell the story, let the story do its work.
I think your other problem too is, and it got mentioned, 300 put him on the map. 300 was very stylized and it was done in a way to capture Frank Miller's vision and art and story of that. However, that's not like, you don't bring that into a Superman world. You don't, it works to a degree with Watchmen, and that's why it worked. Sucker Punch had that darkness to it. So that kind of vision, that view of that feel to a movie could work. And then you bring it into this world where it shouldn't have been in the Superman movie. And now you're making all these characters seem like these, you know, like seem like these warriors from 300 when they shouldn't be. And I don't know. The other big thing too, is they announced, you know, Superman messes up big, I think is the, to quote what was said about it in this Entertainment Weekly stuff. And it's like, what does he mess up big? The only time, well, first of all, Superman, you know, in no, you know, spoilers there, and Man of Steel just straight breaks Zod's neck and screw sending him back to the Phantom Zone, just break his neck in this one, right?
After destroying pretty much the entire city.
Yeah. After, what did they say? That was like, I can't even, and they even estimated that damage. It was crazy. But not only do you have that, the only time really, and I know there's times where like he's got, you know, Starro on his face or there's something that brainwashes him and he goes a little off the rails. The only time Superman just goes deep is when in the Injustice comic, so based off the video game, when the Joker and Harley just straight kill Lois while she's pregnant with Superman's baby, and Superman just loses it, just straight loses it. And to me, that makes sense because that should be the only thing that sets this all-American, like, perfect superhero off, and yet you're going to stage this here, only the second movie with Lois, so Are you killing Lois already? Like, are you killing? You've already killed his dad in the first movie. You know, like, what are you going to do that sets him that far off?
To be fair, though, Man of Steel definitely set the stage to him not being the Superman that we've always known from the comic books. Like, he's definitely a different Superman than the status quo primary universe Superman. Like, if Man of Steel said one thing, it was like, this isn't your Grandpa Superman, you know what I mean? Like, just
it's
the origin story.
Grandpa Superman. It's not your Grandpa Superman. It's not your dad Superman. It's not your older brother Superman.
If anything, the only mainstream comic version of Superman that Man of Steel really even matched up with, and even to the storyline a little bit, was Batman Superman Year One, the Straczynski one that they did, and it was actually pretty close to that one, but even went a little bit farther there with the origin story. So I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. Zack Snyder, the stuff that he's gotten popular for, with the exception of Watchmen, wasn't because the story was great. It's because, I mean, 300 didn't become huge because it told this nuanced, really well-scripted story. It was because it looked fantastic and had done things that hadn't been done before. And, like, the best story that he's had in a movie was, you know, an Alan Moore story that he just adapted, you know? So, I don't know.
I really want to defend him,
but I have come to the conclusion that the DC's Achilles heel will now and forever be Zack Snyder as long as he's at the helm. So,
but I think I'm the only one here who's just, I'm listening to all of you and I'm just like, you know what? I'm still hopeful. I just love Batman so much. Like, even the shittiest Batman adaptations, the shittiest Batmans that there are, I still love.
Even Batman and Robin?
Yep. I still... Tonight's forecast. I can still enjoy that.
A freeze.
It was so bad, but I just freaking loved it. And I didn't, okay, I shouldn't say loved it. It's just, it's Batman. I'm going to love it. So.
No, wait, I'm with you, Aaron. Come on, guys. I want it to be.
You guys gave me crap for saying I could watch it, and y'all are just sitting there letting her say this now without.
We expect Tyler. This sort of. Tyler, we expect this. Sort of thing from Aaron. You mean Aaron's going to bat for something that's universally agreed upon to be not good? No.
So yes. Here again, I am representing a huge group of people. I'm sure who probably agree.
I know that one person that shows up wasn't at the
sad thing is like, first of all, every time you claim like this huge demographic. The problem is, I don't think you realize is even if that huge demographic that you're defending exists, their Venn diagram overlap with our audience is non-existent. Like they're literally two separate circles.
I don't know. I think that you may have just alienated a huge section of listeners. Tyler is saying that
I alienated one person that came up to her at Comic-Con.
Denver Comic-Con. Thank you.
I'll take my supporters versus your supporters of our audience any day of the week.
Tyler especially does have a weird strong following from listeners. I don't know why, but he does. So perfect. Well, next
quit misleading I really people, wanted to, Tyler.
I really, since we're talking a little bit about comic stuff, I did want to bring up while we were out also. Marvel's October 2015 lineup for comics came out. So post what was the big multiverse thing they just did? I can't even remember what it's called right now.
Secret Wars.
Secret Wars. Right. Yeah. So post Secret Wars, all number one issues, of course, with everything, new slate for monthly comics. A few surprises in there, in my opinion. Squirrel Girl has seemed to gotten like tons of love lately with her own series and everything. And it's just short lived. It's done. It's not going to be there in October. We talked about it on a previous podcast about all the Spider-Verse characters. Silk's going to keep her own series. Spider-Gwen's going to keep her own series. You got the Spider-Man. You got Spider-Man 2099. I mean, like I said, Spider-Man across the board is successful. So, of course, they have many of them. But I'm surprised they kept so many and let Squirrel Girl go. Additionally, you also have, what's the other big one that I was shocked by? Drax getting his own series. You know, a couple other, of course, Star-Lord's getting his own, which he's already had his own, excuse me. And then... one that I'm actually kind of excited for, Howard the Duck, parentheses, yes, again, closed parentheses. Don't shake your head, Tyler. Howard the Duck was great. But anyways.
The movie?
I like the movie, too. I'm not going to lie. I
watched the movie a lot.
When I was a kid, it was perfect. But the comic series I enjoy, too.
I don't mind the comic series. That movie is just...
No, it's good. It does not hold up as well.
I remember watching it as a kid and being like intrigued and a little creep and a little weird out of it. And then watching it as I got older and realized, oh no, this is super creepy. Like this is awkward. And
things happen in that movie, really aren't right. So
no,
I don't know. Any other
Marty McFly's mom and an anthropomorphic duck doing really awkward things. May have scarred me.
Any other, have y'all seen the slate? Any other surprises for y'all or any other things that stand out that you're excited for?
I mean, there's a few, like you said, like Squirrel Girl has she's been up and down. I mean, she's always been a beloved character, but, you know, she's been up and down, whether it's Great Lakes Avengers or showing up in like Deadpool and here and there. But I don't think any of these are super surprises because it's definitely become very apparent that the Marvel comic slate is definitely being directed by the Marvel movie slate more and more, instead of the other way around. Well, like if something's successful in the movie, you better believe it's going to get its own comic series sooner than later. So,
yeah. And Spider-Woman was one of the Spider-Verse ones I left off. The other thing I wanted to point out, which we knew for sure one was happening, but of course, X-Men and Fantastic Four, their monthly series gone. Wolverine, who has been killed in the comics, though, he will gain his own monthly series, of course, because you're never going to get rid of Wolverine, no matter what studio has the rights to that character. But I mean, it's going to be a healthy slate. I think, I don't know, Tyler, you might know this better than me. I don't know how their comic sales numbers have been affected by the success at the box office. I do agree that certain titles are probably seeing more success and, of course, are going to see certain characters headline their own series. But I don't think it's a terrible slate. I'm just a few surprises for sure.
With the exception of some of the X-Men titles, because at any given time there for a while, Marvel would have you know, 5 to 10 different monthlies running that in some way were on the X-Men side of the universe. Because there for a while, you basically had, you had like the prime Marvel characters, you had the X-Men Marvel characters, and you had the cosmic Marvel characters. And there was very little crossover unless there was a big event. But I mean, there was so much stuff going on in the X-Men side of the universe. But with the exception of some of the things that have, that are owned by other studios, a lot of things that are owned by other studios, and I don't know if this is a virtue of them being done by other studios and by all accounts poorly, or if it's just the nature of these characters. A lot of those ones that are getting dropped, I think, have less to do with the fact that they're with other studios and more to do with the fact that they just haven't been very successful for a long time. Like, I can't remember the last time, like, the Fantastic Four was a popular book and, or a well-written book and, or super important to, like, the world, the Marvel universe as a whole. And that doesn't, I mean, I'm obviously three or two pretty bad movies didn't help their numbers any, but the Fantastic Four, I mean, they've tried over the last 10 to 15 years, like the roster's changed, the name of the team has changed from Fantastic Four to the Future Foundation. They had Spider-Man and Storm and Black Panther. And I mean, I feel like everyone and their mom has been a member of the Fantastic Four over the last 10 years, and that nothing they've done has managed to dredge that thing out of obscurity. Like, they were just, they haven't been huge for a long time. I don't know. Same thing with a lot of the stuff on the X-Men force ever since, like, House of M and, what was it? The Messiah complex and stuff like that. They've, that, that side of the business hasn't been great either. So I don't know.
Well, the movies, I think it's not so much that you need them to be successful, but they allow you to get a, you know, to be easily introduced to a new younger audience. So you get more folks that will continue to buy your books. So whereas, you know, yes, like you said, Iggy, Wolverine will always be able to sell it. And even if they didn't make the newest, the Wolverine, and just stuck with Wolverine or X-Men Origins Wolverine or whatever it was in that horrible movie, they would still sell Wolverine books because that character is good. I don't know if folks necessarily connect with Fantastic Four anymore. And maybe it would take a, you know, a complete reboot to kind of jump them back and going and reconnect them with a more modern world.
Yeah.
Like the future science that they did and all that kind of stuff, it doesn't seem very futuristic anymore. Oh, we got a car that can float. Okay, cool. Yeah. Moving on. What else do you got? Yeah.
And a lot of those lesser, those ones that have fallen off the map haven't been written particularly well for a while. Like you said, like the movies help you get into a younger audience. Well, before the movies really took off, Marvel did the whole, the Ultimate Universe, and the Ultimate Universe was their way of rebooting all these classic characters and getting them into younger audiences. And some of them were crazy successful, like Ultimate Spider-Man, and really did get more people into them. But some of them just bombed hard. Like Ultimate Fantastic Four lasted all of this long and wasn't, for all intents and purposes, was not good. Same with the Ultimates, which was their version of like the Avengers, was very up and down. So,
well, the Ultimates is going to continue in October. The one thing I just noticed, and I don't even know, I could be missing it off this one site, so I was trying to find it again. Inhumans. So Uncanny Inhumans just started a monthly series, what, back in April. And then the Inhumans were doing a mini series. I can't remember what it was, just a quick mini series. Of course, with that movie slated for a few years out, I don't see that on the October slate. I'm thinking it's an oversight because it's got to be in there if they're prepping, you know, they got a movie coming soon. And especially because they even marketed it as the X-Men replacement. Like, this is their.
Yeah.
And they, it, so
and the Inhumans have also become a big part of the storyline of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show. The Inhumans are a big part of that. So,
okay. Mm-hmm. See, I'm not watching that, so I didn't know that. So maybe it's something I'm just overlooking on this site. I don't know. I'll check probably afterwards to verify. But yeah, if for some reason it's not on there, that would be interesting. But yeah, I would assume it would be there. So,
well, I just wonder if they're going to partner it with it with other successful stuff, so maybe they're going to tell those character stories, just not through their own comic.
Possibly,
yeah. I don't know how good the Uncanny Inhumans did.
It doesn't look like Guardians is running its own thing anymore, with them spinning off to their own comics. So,
I mean, if nothing else, Marvel's making an obscene amount of money selling all those Star Wars comics. I feel like every single time one of those comes out, it breaks another sales record.
That's true. I took a look at those Marvel announcements. So just to correct us before we move on, Uncanny Inhumans will continue on this year. We did see a couple X-Men series, so, and then of course it's Old Man Logan and then all new Wolverine, which will be X-23 taking his place. So those were some of the corrections. And Guardians of the Galaxy is getting its own series along with Star-Lord Drax, of course. So, but like I said, Howard the Duck. So anyways, as we were wrapping our first half of the episode, getting ready for this one, we brought up Jurassic World, or actually we said, what movies have y'all seen? So, Tyler, you did want to mention Jurassic World. Finally
didn't win the weekend. And the sad thing is not only did it not
shocking.
Win, but it lost the weekend by just over $500,000, like $530,000.
Really? So does that count? Because we said the first weekend it'll lose will be this weekend to the Minions movie. So if it's $500,000, like, does that really count as a loss that we can?
Well, it lost to Inside Out into a Pixar movie in its second week. The fact that it beat a Pixar movie in its first week is amazing enough as it is. So.
Yeah. Well, holiday weekend. Raining through most of the weekend across the Midwest.
I'll tell you what didn't make any money, and that is Terminator Genesis.
Where did that finish at the box office?
I mean, compared to those other two, it finished at $27 million. Those two were at 29.7 and 29.2. So like only $2 million back, but Jurassic World's in week four now, and Inside Out's in week two. So,
ouch.
So what was I saying about a rainy week and a lot of people to theater? Maybe not so much. Maybe not. So those numbers were all kind of small.
Well, I don't know. I'm curious. And like, speaking of movies that are coming out, we've got Minions, obviously. And I don't know if anyone's noticed after some radio silence, if you will, the PR machine for Ant-Man is in full force.
Like, as full force. So I'm going to go back to sports just for a split second, but go to any major league team you want to, go to their schedule and look at the calendar, and under the 17th is the Ant-Man banner on their schedule. Seriously. I was
really?
Yeah. So no, Ant-Man is everywhere all of a sudden.
Yeah. And there's trailers everywhere now, and they're definitely, these trailers are straight up like, screw it. Here's everyone who's going to show up in the movie. Here's a shot of the Falcon. Here's us making an Avengers crack. Like, we're going to get you out to see this movie. And the sad thing is as much as I have gone up and down on this movie as time has gone on, like, I've gotten back to the point where I'm actually kind of excited about it.
I'll see it. I'm not excited about it, but I'll see it. It's not doing it for me like the other Marvel movies have. And I think it's just, you started with the stuff right at the beginning, which happens in movies. I'm not terribly disappointed. You know, of course I would have loved to seen Edgar Wright at the helm for this, but
let Edgar Wright make his movie. That's what I want. Oh my God.
I mean, but that happens. So I'm not going to, but at the same time, like the trailers had not impressed me to the point that the new trailers that are popping up left and right, I'm turning my head really. I'm not paying that much attention. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'll see it because it's a comic book movie.
Apparently, while we were talking about this, another thing has come out as part of the marketing campaign. There's now a viral video on YouTube that's like a news report, like in the Marvel Universe. Like, it's some TV show called Newsfront with Christine Everhart. If you know, Christine Everhart was in some of the Iron Man movies. Basically, talking about the backstory of Scott Lang, about how he was a thief, and it's a whole like pre-produced like news report that's about Scott Lang.
If you want to see some good viral marketing campaign, still go check out the Jurassic World website because it's still in full force. A lot of people running out of that park and a lot of cameras saying like, please stand by.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah. I don't know.
And the viral video opens with her reporting on the Avengers thing in Sokovia. Like, it shows like the like little bad war footage of like them fighting Ultron robots and stuff like that. And then cuts to talking about, and then it cuts into a report about Scott Lang's robbery of some multimillion-dollar corporation. So
they do a good job of tying it all together.
And they've got this whole like bottom line, renowned astrophysicist Jane Foster to lecture on her experience with inner space and dimensional travel. Rogue Hydra agent Wolfgang Von Strucker. I mean, it's got this whole.
Is there anything not related to Marvel? Like,
I'm waiting for. I'm looking. They have like stock prices.
May or may not be really excited, you guys.
New York.
They have all these stock prices going down there, and I'm waiting for like a stock price to come up that's about like some company, like a Roxxon stock bot price or something like that. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. I'm just saying, after not hearing about Ant-Man for the last 6 months or so, like, they've cranked this bitch up to 11.
Well, they had to promote the Avengers, like, at 11, because that's what Disney does for their stuff. Like, Avengers, then Inside Out, and like, okay, now we've got Inside Out out there. Let's get to...
I don't feel like they ever turned it on for Inside Out. Like,
You're just looking in the wrong places.
I don't have kids, I guess, so...
They had the big cardboard cord... Corkits or whatever of the toys out at the stores. I've got cable with the kids, and it seemed like every commercial break, besides the damn Sharpie commercial on Cartoon Network, there was an Inside Out advertisement. So I don't know. It was there. It's not to the level they do the Marvel stuff, but I think it's also because we're not viewing all those channels, I guess, those advertising channels.
Yeah.
Ooh. So you guys. Who here has seen Jurassic World?
I saw it.
So Adam and Tyler saw it. I know Bob saw it. What, he saw it twice opening weekend?
At least.
At least, that's right. In between seeing like 12 other movies. But I still haven't seen it. Aaron?
Nope, haven't seen it.
What's wrong with you, dude?
I really want to.
You guys could have helped it be number one this weekend, but you didn't.
I don't know if I could have put down $250,000 to help it be number one this week.
I was too busy celebrating America.
America. That one was Aaron. But anyways, I did finally see Mad Max. Tyler, have you caught up to Mad Max yet?
I have not. I haven't been home for like 3 or 4 days now.
So. I know Aaron has seen it, but she hadn't seen the previous Mad Maxes. So I do... Spoiler free for Tyler, which I think was a mistake, especially once I saw it. I'm like, not a mistake, you could have seen it, but I feel like a lot of...
You kind of need to know what the world was.
Well, not only the world, your villain, your other characters, the villains that tribes or whatever you want to call them, your groups are the same that they've been in the previous movies. You have your Bullet Town, you have you've got the group running the water, the group running the ammo, the group running the gasoline. And the way the movie's done is very Mad Max style. So, Aaron, thoughts?
Yeah, it was definitely a sequel. I mean, I was a little shocked. I was looking forward to seeing it without seeing the previous movies because I thought, you know what? I don't want to get all hyped up and be let down. I just want to watch it and enjoy it for what it is because it's supposed to be so fantastic. And instead, I was just like, okay, first of all, I just want to say it was a good movie, but... I was expecting something meaningful, and had I watched the previous movies, I probably would have realized that it's just mindless action, which I wasn't that blown away with.
Whoa.
Mindless action?
Yeah. Okay, whatever. I was just a little disappointed, I guess.
Well thought action in there. That wasn't mindless. There was some clever use of the vehicles and some incredible...
It's action distilled down to its... primal being.
Okay, fine, but that's all it is. It doesn't have any depth in the plot.
It was very... I could see how somebody who's not familiar with the Mad Max franchise who could to a degree see what you're seeing, because like I said, it was very Mad Max. Like, from the open of that movie to the close of that movie, I felt like I was watching a Mad Max film again. I don't know, Adam, would you agree with me? Like, it was very... like, it had that style, that Mad Max style.
Well, yeah, it's because it's from the guy who created the universe. I mean, like, he created this whole idea of what this would be and made three very good movies. And I think this is the best of the Mad Max movies. And I really don't even think it's very close. I think this one just blows them out of the water.
It's really good. I need to watch it again, and I need to watch. I haven't seen Road Warrior in quite a few years. And by quite a few years, I mean like 4 or 5 probably, but I need to watch it again. And the problem is the most recent times I've seen Road Warrior have been on television. Like, so I need to watch it again. Like, and like give a comparison there. I don't know. I will say Tom Hardy was a great Mad Max. He's fantastic. And I will, without spoiling it for you, Tyler, will say in the trailers, they make it really seem like Max is just along for the ride. Like it's just all Charlize Theron. That's not the case. You get plenty of Tom Hardy being a badass in there. He's pretty solid.
We get lots of people being a badass. I think that's really the thing with this story is that it's not and that was, you know, a lot of the blowback is that it wasn't, oh, it's not just all about Mad Max. Well, no, he's not the only person alive. And so there is stuff going on with the other people, and you get that, I think.
And the other people are survivors just like he is, the good and the bad ones, you know?
So I took one thing out of this, and that is I'm going to get a whiteboard. I'm going to put it up back here. We're halfway into episode one of the season, and Aaron has now come down on the wrong side of two things, I think.
I'm not on the wrong side of it just because I'm not like super duper in love with it. I thought it was a good movie, but it was
I didn't get that. I got that.
Aaron will be like,
she needs to watch it again.
No, she will be in love with the Mad Max franchise. We just need to give her the scenes with Tina Turner and Beyond Thunderdome. And then
she just needs some Master Blaster in her life.
Yeah, Master.
I didn't get the Master Blaster. I didn't get the Tina Turner.
I don't know. It might have been some Master Blaster.
And I feel like maybe some of it I maybe needed to see when I was 10 years old. Like the originals?
Well, no. My wife had not seen any of the original movies. And she's absolutely in love with the new Mad Max.
Before you go further in this, Adam, hold on, Aaron. I'm gonna defend you on that argument, because is there anything in this world that Laura isn't positive or optimistic or in love with? Like, is Laura's like the most like, this is fantastic. Really, life is fantastic.
A really nice medium rare ribeye. a little bit bloody in the middle.
But not only that, not necessarily, because she's in love with that ribeye. She will look at it and talk about how great it looks and everything about it. She's just not going to eat it.
No, she'll just yell at me.
She will yell at you, yes. Other people, she is okay with that.
See?
But you in particular.
I don't know. I know. I'm just giving Laura a hard time. But Laura is a very optimistic person.
She is.
So I don't know. Not to say you're not optimistic, Aaron.
No, it's first of all, it's just it was a good movie for what it was. But that's the thing. It's not like
that's like opening a statement with "I'm not a racist," but it was a good movie for what it was. That's like one of those.
Well, that's
I don't mean to insult you, or I'm not a racist. That's like one of those phrases. Bless her. At least she tried. They tried. I was super impressed. I just saw it this week even. So super impressed with some of like the throwback. And I keep saying the words, it's a very Mad Max movie, and I get that. But I mean, to have some of the same, not only characters, but the same actors as those characters, and to... It was very like, and maybe that was it. You know, Aaron, you said maybe I should have saw those other ones when you were 10. Maybe that's it. Maybe that nostalgia factor just kicked on for me to like it that much more. I won't go as far as Adam right now to say by far it's the best Mad Max movie. I think it might be. I need to, like I said, I need to revisit some of the older ones too, because it's been a while. And I mean, there was no Tina Turner singing in this one. There's no two will enter, you know, like, oh, sorry. Okay.
No two will enter, one will leave. It's got its own story to tell. And I think it.
Sorry, I'm Thunderdome.
It did a really good job.
One question, having now seen it and I've heard from him, was, is the mad, crazy, expressive love for Nicholas Hoult warranted? Is he just killing it? Yeah.
He played Nux, you guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he did an amazing job.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. I don't think anybody did a bad job in their character. There's something like when I want to say like there's something that's holding me back from being as enthusiastic as Adam or Bob is when Bob's here or every other one of our friends who's seen it. I'm not where Aaron's at. I really loved it. I enjoyed it. I'm ready to watch it again. But there's something holding me back from that. Like this was like
bad taste.
But it definitely wasn't. No, it definitely wasn't the acting. It was the. Anyways, it wasn't the, like every character was perfect in it. And like I said, new and old, I don't think there was a bad a bad acting performance in it. And I was actually, from the trailers, I was actually kind of worried about Charlize Theron in it. And that she was awesome. She was great.
Yeah, she was really good.
And the dynamic between her and her and Mad Max was really strong too. Not just the acting chemistry between her and Hardy, but actually like the dynamic of the characters, to where it wasn't just instantly like, oh, this just happens and it's perfect. It was like,
right, they're BFFs. No,
yeah, no, it was very like, it was well done. I don't know. The more I'm talking about it right now, by the end of this podcast, I will be as enthusiastic as Adam and Bob are about it. So.
Yeah, well, and I've said it. I'll say it again. I definitely still think that is my movie of the year so far. Like, after I had watched that and Avengers 2, people ask me, oh, I'm going to go see Avengers 2 this weekend. I'm like, you might just want to go see Mad Max instead.
I'm trying to think of what else I've seen this year. I haven't seen much this year to compare, really. Because, yeah, it's way better than the Avengers 2.
Are you guys going to go see Inside Out with the kids?
I saw that one, yeah. We took them to the theater to see it, and it was good. My problem with Pixar movies is typical. I'll see it in theater. It's been so hyped up and put in your face, and the kids are just in your face about it as well. And that I see it in theaters, and I'm like, eh. And then we'll get it, and I'll watch it again. And I'll be like, okay, that was better than I saw at theaters.
Do you have no soul?
It was good. I said it was good. I just
No, that's fine. I'm not talking about specifically Inside Out. Just you just basically just shit on Pixar movies.
No, whoa. Okay,
how do you not walk at it like
recent?
No. Soul, it hurts.
Okay, actually, yeah, those. It started with
Toy Story 3 made me cry a little bit. Like,
it started with Ratatouille. I saw them in theaters, and I think it was just so crazy overhyped that I was kind of, I don't know. And it's two, and it's like The Incredibles, and then you get these ones, and it's like The Incredibles. You know, I don't know.
You're right. I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. Anybody knows.
Just draw a line on your draw a line on your whiteboard and put me on the other side, because we already know you want to argue with me on it too. So.
So let's talk about something that I'm super excited about. Star Wars Universe.
Okay. We already talked about The Martian, Tyler.
Andy Weir, for those of you guys curious. Fantastic book.
Have to start sending us checks.
I think he's doing okay. I think he was selling enough books without our help.
No, I mean, he needs to be sending us checks just for the way we're promoting, and we're basically like
Andy Weir.
I understand he was doing fine, but that's a better reason why he can send us money. Anyways, Star Wars Universe, sorry.
Django Wexler and Anthony Ryan. They're both very good authors. Ed books come out today. Check it out.
I thought you were going to mention.
No. I was just throwing someone else. I was throwing out someone other than Andy Weir. But
I was thought you were, no, so, you're going to mention a certain person who just got announced for Star Wars.
We knew it was coming, but they have officially announced the untitled Han Solo anthology film that'll focus on young Han Solo. Phil Lord and Chris Miller are going to direct, the same guys who directed Lego Movie. And Lawrence Kasdan and his son, John Kasdan, will be writing the screenplay. Lawrence Kasdan, obviously, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Big Chill director. He also wrote or co-wrote Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, Force Awakens. So, I mean, there's no talk about where they'll go, because, like, it's the biggest thing with big Star Wars fans is there was this huge, 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 I mean, indescribably huge canon of expanded universe stuff about all these beloved characters. And it was basically all said to be non-canon anymore once Disney took over and said, we're starting over, we're going to make more movies. So they're going to make a young Han Solo movie. But when it comes to the EU, the expanded universe, there's not many series of books in it that are as beloved as the Thrawn trilogy and then the Han Solo trilogy. Those two right there. And the Thrawn trilogy takes place right after the first three movies. The Han Solo trilogy tells the story of young Han Solo, you know, how he was, you know, in the Corellian military, the Corellian Navy, how he met Chewbacca, all that kind of stuff. I'll explain all this backstory stuff. And those are two series that are beloved by Star Wars fans who read the books, and now they're making movies in those very specific time periods. And I'm just curious to see, will they pull anything from some of those EU books, like Admiral Thrawn, like Han Solo's backstory, you know? So we'll see, I guess.
Who plays a young Han Solo?
No one knows yet.
No, who do you want? I'm sorry. Who do you want?
Oh. Ooh.
Adam wants to play? Pick or he me, wants to
pick
answer?
Me, pick me.
No, pick me.
You want to play?
Young I want to be a Han Solo, yes.
I don't know. That's hard. Can we go back? Can we make this movie 10 years ago and get like.
First of all, I don't think
How about a younger version of like Will Forte?
Well, if you're just going to do a younger version, why not a younger version of Harrison Ford?
I don't know. That was a pretty young Harrison Ford playing Han Solo, the original. So I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. That's hard. Like casting that role will be. There are a lot of characters that need to be cast in this series, and I don't know if anyone will have more people with very strong opinions than young Han Solo.
It's going to be a tough one to pick.
Oh, yeah. No, you're not going to make everybody happy for sure. You're either going to pick that big name that a big group wanted. And then the rest of people are like, yeah, but he's already doing all this and it's stuff like something like a Chris Pratt or something, you know, or you're going to go somewhere out here, out of nowhere and pick it. Then everybody's going to be like, what? Who's that? Doesn't even look like Harrison Ford, whatever. I don't know. Exciting. I'm excited for the Han Solo movie. I get it. But I just read it today, you know, the Donnie Yen thing. The reason I'm excited about that is like, Ray Park, I just think as Ray Park, as Darth Maul, as, you know, just straight, like, baller with the lightsaber. Like, I'm excited to possibly see something to that level again.
No, it is exciting news. It's just, in terms of the biggest news, like, putting a director or a directing team, in this case, on a movie is bigger than one character who we don't even know who he's playing.
They didn't announce the Han Solo thing today, did they?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought that was like previously announced. Like, I don't know why I felt like, I think because it's been rumored, hasn't it?
Well, we knew that they were going to make all these movies and we knew that there was going to be probably a Han Solo movie. We didn't realize that not only were they going to put the guys from the Lego movie in charge of it, but they were going to have Lawrence goddamn Kasdan and his son, right? Lawrence Kasdan directed, he wrote for Raiders of the Lost Ark and directed The Big Chill and he co-wrote Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Like, it's Lawrence Kasdan. It's kind of a big deal.
No, it is. It is.
And I mean, the Lego movie, I don't know what makes someone say that these are the people we want to do this, but I mean, I'm excited for it.
So,
yeah.
Staying with movies, I do want to mention, I did like the news that this is a little bit outdated, but we were out last week. A lot of large sites announcing, you know, when Deadpool comes out, announces that it's going to be a hard R movie. And is it Entertainment Weekly that's been, or what's that show that has,
is it Extra?
Slater on. Yeah, Extra. That's been doing a promotion with them.
Well, they did that. It was an April Fool's Day video.
Yeah, but they did just another one too. A bunch of the big sites are like, oh, this is the first like rated R comic book movie. The first rated R one. Like, and it's like, really? Really? First rated R comic book movie? I don't know. I found false. That to be interesting news. I know. Yeah. But,
very false.
Interesting news.
What would be the first one? Would it be Blade?
I think it's Blade.
I feel like Blade was the first one, I think. And actually, I saw like a correction article on it, and it was, I think they announced it as Blade.
Because there's been other ones, but I feel like Blade's got to have been the first one.
Yeah. And not only that, like to mention that the comic book movies that you don't realize are comic book movies from things like History of Violence and Road to Perdition, you know?
Or even like a Ghost World or, some of those other ones.
30 Days of Night and things like that. 300. Right. Let's go right back to 300, what we were talking about earlier.
Sin City. I mean, obviously, you know, 300 and Sin City were very hard R's, so.
Here we go. Wanted wasn't rated R, though. This list is wrong. Was it Wanted rated R? Yeah, it was. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. There was tons of language in it. My bad. V for Vendetta. Did the first Punisher? R? Yeah, did the first Punisher get a... Yeah, V for Vendetta was.
No, War and Blood did, or whatever the second one was.
The first Punisher was PG-13 because that was one of the biggest problems with it, is that
that was the Travolta one.
That's right.
That dark.
Watchmen, Constantine, Kick-Ass, was From Hell rated R. Yeah, Road to Perdition, you said Ghost World, we got 30 Days a Night, History of Violence, Fritz the Cat. You got that's why some of these are showing up in here. Punisher and then Daredevil, because they have it listed. It's on IMDb and they're listing the R-rated director's cuts. No, the R-rated director's cuts, because it's unrated. Blade. 1998. Yeah, I think Blade's the earliest one I'm seeing. Dread, the recent Dread, was on there. So, yeah, I mean, you got a good list of rated R movies. So I think a couple of those big news outlets need to do some research
before. And I understand, and we talked about this, like, early last season or maybe even season three. Like, anyone who's really, really, really vehement about a rated R Deadpool, I don't think has read that many Deadpool comics. Because for all intents and purposes, they're pretty PG-13. Like, the humor, like, there's little bits and pieces of this and that. But for him to come across, it doesn't need to be rated R. Like, you only need the rated R, I think, for, like, the gore and stuff.
The gore and violence, I agree. I think, and when we talked about that,
I think you could make a really funny PG-13 Deadpool movie.
Agreed. And we talked about it, and when we did, you know, you mentioned things like it would be hilarious if they get one, you know, the one F word in a PG-13, if somebody else says it, and then he's like, I was saving that or something, you know, like
that, or if if they want to do fourth wall jokes, like, I think it would be hilarious if every time he cussed the entire movie, they bleep it out and he's the only one who can hear the bleep and it becomes what the
great
bleep? Did you guys hear that?
Or say, if you, say bleep. I think another good fourth wall break too would be him making reference to the Deadpool from X-Men Origins Wolverine and being like something like we don't talk about that. We don't, or something, you know, I don't know. Yeah. There's a lot of good things you could do that would possibly make it even funnier. I hope they don't go over the top with the language. Agreed.
Yeah. I hope they don't go over the top with the fourth wall thing. Like, that was never a huge part of the character. It was part of the character, but it wasn't like in your face every issue kind of thing.
No, it was, yeah, you'd see it once every couple issues. The biggest thing I think that's Deadpool is the two internal voices that he verbally
his dialogues. Yeah.
Like, so you have
the yellow boxes, basic, the white boxes, and then him actually talking.
Yeah. And he talks out loud.
And just the constant stream of just nonsense that he spits at people.
Oh yeah. And then he's always arguing with himself. And of course, Pulo Vision, which even that doesn't need to be rated R, because then I think you take it too far. But Pulo Vision, where every time like he sees a woman, like all of a sudden she's like, you know, hair blowing in the wind in a swimming suit, like all modeled out and stuff. And one of his voices will announce, oh, he's watching her in Pulo Vision again. So, cool. All right. Well, I think we're running low on time. Anything else? This is where Tyler's, you see, like, seeing him on video now, you watch the wheels turn. You watch. We're running out of time. Okay, I've got.
I definitely had something.
I need to figure out what those are.
I definitely had something. I can't for the life of me remember what it was now. So I don't know.
Well, our opening to season 5 without Bob, it was kind of weird. I don't know. We'll have to figure out what's going on with Bob. So
I miss Bob.
We miss you, Bob.
We miss him. So he'll be hopefully joining us again next week. But season 5 here. Same story as seasons before. We'll be releasing these every Friday.
Oh, I remember what it was. They've started filming Daredevil season 2.
They have it.
Right. And they announced Elektra. That's right.
They've announced Elektra and Punisher. The only one they haven't is Bullseye, supposed to be in season 2 as well. They haven't announced that.
Can I make a comment about Elektra?
Yes.
Yes.
So, remember that movie?
Tyler's already got his head down.
Do you remember that movie that had Jennifer Garner?
No.
Shut up. Don't talk about it.
No.
You remember how Ben Affleck?
I remember people talking about it.
Listen, I'm going somewhere.
A Catwoman movie that didn't exist. I don't know about these movies.
So I'm going somewhere. So Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner, the last straw of their marriage was that he got the best superhero role ever, and she had the shittiest superhero role there ever was.
But he had already had a really bad one, though.
Well, like,
true fact, yo.
But she always held that over his head. She's like, I at least did Elektra better than you did Daredevil.
Live long
she was in Daredevil as Elektra.
Well, but she, I'm saying, like,
she wasn't Elektra. She was
Elektra.
No, she was Elektra.
She was just Nachos.
Elektra.
Yeah, but she wasn't like the hero. Like, she didn't have the powers and everything yet. Doesn't the hand, like,
yeah, whatever. No one cares. Her point is moot, because while Daredevil was not good, it was a million times better than Elektra.
truth.
No, he was already the better superhero.
Itself. I'm talking about their acting ability as a hero. And she did a better job as Elektra than he did as Daredevil.
No.
Not true.
Because
no.
This is when Ben Affleck used to suck at acting, and he was going through a turning point, and he was still mediocre at that point. What the fuck are you talking about? It's like
you
when Will Smith.
Now. I feel bad.
Tyler, I am paying you the money.
Ben Affleck was good? Like, because he used to be.
Ben Affleck was a Mallrats.
He was a pretty bad actor.
He was the bomb in Phantoms, yo.
Oh my God.
Ben Affleck was the bomb in Phantoms, yo.
He didn't get good until like the last 5 years. Yeah, he played himself in that movie.
Dogma.
Really good.
Him and Matt Damon are fantastic in Dogma.
But there was nothing special about it. I could go be in a movie and be pretty solid myself too.
Pretty solid in Chasing Amy.
Just nonsense over here. Just complete nonsense.
I had no idea that you loved Ben Affleck that much.
Who doesn't love Ben Affleck?
I love him now, but 10 years ago, he was kind of in a bad place.
No, but the argument is Jennifer Garner is better as Elektra than he is as Daredevil.
That's true.
That's just not true.
Tyler,
you wasted our F-bomb too early, because right now
it's just don't like Jennifer
time to say Argo. Yourself. Anyways, wow.
this. I mean, I thought you were off on
and on that bombshell.
I thought you were on another planet earlier. So, in closing,
season 5, the same antics, the same craziness that you've seen from the first 4 seasons of Project Nerd. Actually, 3 seasons.
We're still searching for season 2.
Okay,
it's out there somewhere.
Still can't find it. Anyway, so season 5, of course, we'll drop these on our Podbean RSS feed and iTunes either Thursday night, early Friday morning. And then on Friday during the day, you can find them on the website. We will do a few live episodes this season, just kind of like we did to close out season 4. But we're excited for this whole new season. We'll be joining you, of course, every Friday. And we do have some, you know, recordings from live events coming up too, of course, with Kansas City Comic Con, Dragon Con, Tallgrass Film Festival, and Rocky Mountain Con still on the slate for this year. And then a big announcement next week for our own event.
I kind of give you a hard time, but I feel like we had some pretty cool things go up on the old Project Nerd website this week, and we didn't do any self-promotion.
Go ahead.
I mean, you put up our first cosplay music video.
Oh, yeah.
Finally put together by our amazing editor, Caitlin. It's fantastic.
It was fun.
We finally put out a press release about the PN100, which we've been looking forward to for quite some time.
ProNerd 100, because the URL PN100 wasn't available. So
PN? Also sounds like PN.
ProNerd 100.
No, but I mean, what is PN100.com?
I don't know. I didn't look. I tried to buy it.
About PN.
No, it's all any URL that I want to buy. Just is not only is it not available. There's
not
no site there.
Just
it's
someone just squatting on it.
And then you go ask. Then I'll email somebody about it from some random email address because I don't want them to catch the ties. You know, don't want them to be like, oh, I'm going to charge you a lot more money because you need this. Yeah. And they're like, oh no, we're working on it. It's like,
we took a week off and a lot of things happened. We had a big announcement for Rocky Mountain Con.
Oh, yeah. Katrina Law. Okay, fine. Okay. Real quick. So the ProNerd 100, we put together a panel of experts, 8 other individuals along with the 5 of us from the Nerdcast to get 100 must-watch movies. Yeah, you can check out that press release on projectnerd.com. And later this year, of course, we'll have its own website at ProNerd100.com with all those movies announced. Like you said, our first cosplay music video that Caitlin did an amazing job with some royalty-free music, finally, so we don't get in trouble for this one. And then, as you mentioned, we announced Katrina Law is coming to Rocky Mountain Con November 7th and 8th, thanks to a sponsorship from Project Nerd. And we do have more Rocky Mountain Con stuff to announce, as well as some Dragon Con announcements coming up that we discovered today, too. So, and then... we'll have another big announcement next week, Project Cosplay, that I'll probably talk a lot about, and then Tyler will get annoyed. But our time on our meeting is running out this time, Tyler, so we really do have to cut it. But anyways, yeah, same bat time, same bat channel. Season 5 is here. We're excited to be back. Until next week.
Go fuck yourself.
Oh, man. Jeez.